This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on supporting your staff with Ms. Deirdre Finn. Ms. Finn came to Lancaster to study for a master's degree at West Coast Baptist College, and in 2007 began working in the finance department.
My brother is an engineer, but when he went to college, I always called him a civil engineer, and he would always correct me and said, Deirdre, I'm not a civil engineer, I'm a structural engineer. So when I think of supporting your staff, immediately I think of buildings and architecture, and I think of the support mechanism that is needed to support a building. So I always think of it in terms of engineering. So when I think about supporting your staff, I think of it in terms of bearing the weight for them, undergirding them, so to speak, holding them in position so as to keep them from falling, sinking, or slipping, keep them from weakening or failing, to provide for or to maintain. So when I think of supporting staff, I think of it as a very active, an active means of helping people. Another way to think of supporting your staff is in the realm of promoting the interests or the causes of your staff, assisting them, helping them, coming alongside them in a supporting role, holding up, serving as a foundation for them. And then biblically, I like to think of it as keeping from fainting, yielding, or losing courage. I love the first four verses in Philippians chapter 2, and I think it kind of epitomizes what God would like us to do one to another. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man in his own things, but every man also in the things of others. And when we think of supporting your staff, it's being there to help them. I love that aspect of my job. I love the fact that I know every staff member on the staff of Lancaster Baptist Church, Lancaster Baptist School, West Coast Baptist College, Striving Together Publications, that I have a link with all of them and I have an opportunity to know what's going on in their lives. It's a privilege that I get to serve here in that capacity. So when I think of supporting your staff, I think of me being the one to serve them in some capacity, to hold them up, to be the foundation giver of things that they need. And so supporting your staff, there's 10 principles that I'm going to go through today, and they're all be something. So they're active verbs, active actions that we can be for our staff. So the first in supporting our staff is an obvious one, maybe, be Christian. I worked in the secular world for a few years, and I worked on a dealing desk in an investment bank and central bank with 7 men. And it was not a very Christian environment. And I love working in a Christian environment now. So one of the first things we can do when we're supporting our staff is to be distinct. We're not a secular organization. We should be very determined in the way we do things, that we carry them out in a Christian manner. We should be there to provide support, to help, and not just to help support our staff, but there's a very subtle difference, I feel, in a Christian organization in being there to help them. It's not that you're trying to necessarily get the work done. Yes, we want to get the work done. But in addition to that, as Christians, we should be there to build them up also and to help them in their spiritual and their Christian walk. So we're not just providing the tangible and the monetary. We're providing ministry opportunities when we think about supporting our staff in a Christian realm. The most basic way is to uphold biblical standards, to encourage a distinctly Christian atmosphere for our staff. There should be a difference in our workplace than there is in a secular workplace. When we go down to Walmart or we go out to any secular workplace, it should be very distinct that we're Christian in our values, in our environment, having godly music in the background, having a smile on our face. When we pass each other in the hallway, being friendly to one another. There are times that I can think back in my previous positions, my previous jobs, that my coworkers didn't care. All they cared about was my getting the report done or having a certain task completed. They didn't really care about me because it was a secular organization. We should be distinctively Christian in our in our workplace. Our workplace and our work environment should be a place that staff want to and desire to come to work. It should be different in that respect. By being Christian, we should be in compliance with all federal and state laws. We should be the ones that are above reproach. We should have a knowledge of what our federal minimum requirements are, and we should fulfill them, what our state laws are, and we should ensure that we are keeping all of those. We should be upstanding in our treatment of our employees by abiding by the employment laws of our country and state. We should be Christian in the respect of being compassionate and being Christ-like. We should provide for our staff. So if we're providing for our staff, then we want to make sure that their needs are met. When I think back on Christ's ministry, he always met needs. Every single day, he was brought somebody who had a need that Christ could fulfill. And we should do that as Christians in our organizations. We should provide medical benefits as much as possible to our staff, vacation, retirement plans. In the past, we've taught leadership sessions about the different benefits that you can give to staff. And by being Christian, we're doing right by people, and we should do right by our staff. And in all that, we will be supportive. So be Christian. Next is be loyal. Be loyal, first of all and foremost, obviously, to the cause of Christ. Like I said, uphold biblical values. Make sure that the Bible is your standard. But also be loyal to your pastor. Be loyal to his preferences, his direction for your church and for the staff. I love that Pastor Chapel makes it so clear what his preferences are as staff members, what the biblical standards are, the biblical principles, and how we apply them as a staff. And that creates in me a bigger respect for him and a bigger loyalty to him. So be loyal to the pastor, especially as in our organization and in our church, we have different ministries. So, you know, when you talk to one of the school students or when you talk to one of the college students, it's important to be loyal to this ministry. It's important to be loyal to the position of the pastor. If you're in different, you have different Christian school maybe within your local church, it's important to carry the pastor's preferences and standards through to your area of ministry. And then as you do that, whatever area of ministry you do serve in, none of it's perfect. We all strive to be, but we're not perfect. And in that maybe lack of perfection, don't be negative about it. Try and talk it up. Try and be positive. By doing that, you're staying loyal to the pastor and to the ministry. Address problems when you can, but don't talk negatively about them. It discourages you and it discourages others around you. And then be loyal to your staff. Be loyal to your staff in front of your church family, in front of the students, especially I think in the context of a Christian school where maybe rules are a little bit difficult to enforce. Maybe you've got, especially in a local church context, you've got a teacher that's teaching all day and then she comes to church. She's been dealing with a discipline problem all day with one of the children in the classroom. And then she comes to church and she sits and, you know, hand greeting time, she's greeting with the parents and the child is not very happy with the teacher. But we should always make sure that we're loyal to the school, we're loyal to upholding those standards, and we're loyal to the staff. And that kind of goes with, I love that pastor here doesn't tolerate negativity, and he doesn't tolerate us being critical. I would never be critical in front of a parent about a teacher. So within the context of that, be loyal to all of those around you. For those that are in positions of leadership, be loyal to your staff, in front of other staff, in front of the church family. Talk them up, lift them up, give them public recognition. Next is be communicative. No surprises. Let your staff know that there's open communication, open lines of communication. Don't let them be negatively surprised by you in terms of pay or time off, your expectations of them, or your expectations of their time. Be clear about all of that. Communicate ahead of time. As much as possible, alert them about calendar changes. Learn as you go through the year. One of the things that I do is I keep a continuity binder, and I keep a continuity folder in my email so that if we're coming into a season And I remember, oh, last year people had questions about this, and I sent out an email to clarify. I have a folder that I can go to, pull that up, email up, and maybe send the same email this year to give staff a little bit of information about if there's a holiday coming up, whether you expect the staff to be here or whether they can enjoy the holiday with their family. If school is closing early, what do you do with your part-time teachers? What do you do with your teachers that it gets out at noon? Are they expected to stay in the property until 5, or can they leave early? All of these things start building up some information for you so that you can be as communicative as possible throughout the year. Go by your ministry calendar. We have a very detailed ministry calendar here for all of the different areas of our ministry. We have a church calendar for our church family so they know the big events that are coming up. This week is a very busy week, obviously, for everybody that serves here. So we close offices at 3 o'clock on Friday. We like our staff to know that ahead of time so that they can plan on Friday, 3 o'clock. Please feel free to go home and get some rest and spend some family time. So we keep a ministry calendar to help us with communication to staff. Allow your staff to know things ahead of time. Communicate on pay. Communicate on merit increases if you're giving any. Communicate on church events. We like to plan, and while we know that God will look after us and we know that we're in His care, that certainty amongst your staff will create a greater environment for them to work in. And it helps them to foster trust and loyalty and contentedness within the ministry. Another one in communication, which I think is very important and something that I look forward to every week, is we have a weekly staff meeting here on Friday afternoons. And that helps our pastor to come give a lesson to the staff. It helps to communicate his vision, communicate his burden. It helps us to share prayer requests, give important communication about maybe schedule changes, special announcements, upcoming calendar events. And then pastor will come and give a devotion. And it really helps our staff, who are all asked to attend, to build morale. It keeps communication flowing. So I may not, because I'm not married, I don't have children, I sometimes don't know what goes on in the school. Sometimes I'm like, oh, we've got this big program coming up. If I didn't go to weekly staff meeting and somebody didn't have an announcement sheet, then I probably wouldn't know that that was coming up in a ministry as large as ours. So keeping those, having a weekly staff meeting keeps communication flowing. Here we have an annual staff advance in August. That's when pastor takes all of the staff off-site. So we get away from our offices, we get away from the daily tasks, we go off-site, and he communicates the theme for next year, he communicates the ministry calendar, and it helps me as a staff member to be able to help him in casting his vision, because that he's communicated what his vision is, and then I can catch it, and that communication helps me as a staff member to support his vision. But it also helps me in my capacity that the staff know what's happening over the next year, and that helps to support them because then they can anticipate different things along the line. So communication lines are incredibly important. If there is a question, allow questions to be answered up front. Have a policy handbook. Policies are so incredibly important, not just in terms of the legal side, but in terms of staff knowing what the expectation is of them. When you answer questions up front, it doesn't leave any doubt in the minds of staff members, and that helps to give them clarification, and it also helps them to feel that there's somebody there to answer their questions. There's somebody there that will give them a direct answer in something, and there's continuity. Be informed, know your facts ahead of time, and let them ask questions. When I was in school, we had one of our teachers, I think it was in secondary school, and he used to say the only dumb question is the one that's not asked. And even if it was a real silly one, he would rather we ask the question and he be able to clarify it in our mind so that we can continue learning than the question not asked. And then the student get sidetracked or not pay attention. So allow questions to be asked. That's how administrators learn, and it helps us to refine different processes. Fourthly, in terms of supporting staff, be reliable. God is a reliable God. It's one of the things that I love probably the most of God's characteristics is His faithfulness, His continual presence. And we should be reliable for our staff. we should allow them to know what's coming. As a pastor remains faithful in his place, staff can learn, through that by example. As an administrator, it's important for me to set the standard for the rest of the staff. If I'm coming in at 10 after and 20 after 8, then how can I ever go back to somebody and say, you know, we've got a staff policy that says you need to be here for 8 o'clock. So supporting your staff by being reliable, you should be the example. Tell them what you're going to do and do it. Follow through on things. Allow staff to anticipate what's going to occur. Don't let there be any shocks. Plan ahead. As much as possible, care for your staff reliably. Give them benefits. Year after year, have the same patterns going so that they know what vacation to anticipate. They know what the paid holidays are going to be. And don't backtrack. Don't promise something and then not follow through on it. Fulfill the commitment that you've made. Next is be understanding. Be understanding of the life stages of your staff, the events that are happening in their lives. In order to be able to support somebody, you need to know what the bigger picture is a lot of times. Schedules sometimes do need to be adapted. I think of some of the pastoral staff in our ministry that we may not realize they've been up all night with a church family. They've been in a hospital. They've driven down. Just a few weeks ago, Brother Furso left his home just before 3 a.m. to drive down to Los Angeles to pray with somebody before their husband had surgery. And nobody probably but his wife and maybe one or two others knew that he did that. And that was a day that absolutely he should have gone home early. So we allow that flexibility. If you're allowing that flexibility, that means that I know you care about me because you care that the ministry is not a boxed 8-to-5 Monday to Friday job by any means. It's a lot of times a 24/7 job. And by being understanding of different life events and different schedules, staff will feel very supported. Be supportive of what they need in terms of provision, in terms of pay, in terms of allowing them to have vacation days. I always kind of think it's sad that sometimes in Christian work, there's you're not as well paid as you would be in obviously a secular environment. But we should do our best for staff. We should want to give them the best that we can. We should want to pay them as much as budgetary possible. By understanding what life stage they're in, then we can maybe give them a bonus when they're going through maybe a financial hardship, or we can be gracious, we can give them gift cards, whatever it may be, within the bounds of IRS regulations, of course. But be understanding of their life stages and of their schedules. Next in being supportive is be fair. Be consistent with policies, be consistent with how you treat staff, especially as your staff grows. When you've got, maybe there's the pastor, a secretary, and then some pastoral staff members, but it's a smaller staff, then it's easier to know what's going on in everybody else's lives. But as your staff grows, it's important to be consistent with policies. When you have policies, apply them across the board to all, not just some. Deal with exceptions as they come up, yes, but have your policies. And continue them, keep it consistent, and then when the don't grant the exception to the same person every single time, if exceptions do come up, you may need to go back and tweak your policy, but deal with the exceptions and have your policy as a consistent one. Where in the Christian school is concerned, be fair where rules are come into play as well. Don't favor one particular student over another. Don't favor one particular teacher over another. So be fair across the board. Then next, number 7, is be gracious. Go the extra mile with your staff. Season your ministry with gracious servings of grace. Treat staff like you would want to be treated. My father taught us that principle from the time we were really young. He said, you need to treat people how you want to be treated. If you were in their shoes, how would you like to be treated? What would you like the reaction to be? And when we take a step back, especially in a ministry this size, a lot of times I'll kind of take a step back and say, well, this is the bigger context of what's going on in this person's life. And our pastor is the epitome of a gracious Christian. I'm overwhelmed a lot of times by just how gracious he is to people. And God wants us to be gracious. When we're gracious with our staff, when we're kind, when we acknowledge their families, when we acknowledge them, it comes back in service to the Lord. Right here, we acknowledge family birthdays. We do birthday cards for all of our staff members. We do birthdays for all of their children. We do cards for their anniversaries. And then Pastor takes some time, a few different occasions over the year, and he will do something for the staff children. At Christmas time, we have a staff day. We take one day and we have a combined breakfast and then a time of fellowship, and then we do something for that day as a staff. All of the children and spouses are invited. Then coming up to Thanksgiving, he'll do a pumpkin patch at his house, so he'll have pumpkins for all of the younger elementary age children. And the children, they love that because they know the pastor cares about them. Their moms and dads serve long hours sometimes in ministry, and pastor will do that to show the appreciation. And with that, he's supporting the staff, and he's supporting the staff's calling. And then something that we have just started, we do unified birthday party for all of the children. So everybody from birth right up until about maybe 17, 18 high school graduates, we do a unified birthday party with pastor. He takes some time and gets gifts for all of the children, and we celebrate their birthday on one particular day of the year. So that gives a very good signal to the children that pastor cares, and he is thankful to some of the sacrifices that you as a child have made because of what your parents are doing in ministry. So be thoughtful and kind in the area of graciousness to the children. Then be gracious to your staff. As much as possible, give them benefits. Medical benefits, vacation, holiday pay, marriage increases. We have an annual merit increase process here at Lancaster Baptist Church. So every year, based on performance reviews, we will give a merit increase to all of our staff. We'll give bonuses during different seasons for different work that's been completed. And then we give extra time off. This week, leading up to this week, we've had numerous staff that have worked very long hours. Some of them have worked into the night. A lot have come in maybe on their day off, and we'll honor that and we'll be gracious to them, and next week we'll have them take one or two days off, or the week after, or maybe enjoy some family time together. And then another way that we support our staff by being gracious is by honoring them for tenure at specific points of ministry. Annually at our staff advance in August, pastor will take a few minutes to honor those that have served in our ministry for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years. And then in another year or two, we're going to be into the 25-year mark, because we'll have people that have been on staff for 25 years. So pastor takes that time and he honors them. He honors them publicly in front of the other staff, and then he does a little gift for them. And that just shows his graciousness. And as a staff member, that's a way of building up the staff. That's a way of supporting them through their ministry. And number 8 is be available. A pastor is to shepherd the flock, and our pastor certainly shepherds his staff very closely. And then as he shepherds us, we're able to go out and shepherd the flock of the church. Always be willing and available to hear the staff's input on situations or events. They're the end users of an awful lot of the processes that we put into place in administration, and they're the ones that can give the valuable feedback. Allow that to come through, be willing to hear it, and then as much as possible, use their observations to help improve the ministry. You know, the saying is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And by being available to them, you're showing that you care. I'm all for productivity. I'm all for working hard. Coming in, being dedicated, getting the job done with absolute excellence. I'm all for it. But I'm also all for taking a few extra minutes at the photocopier and just talking to somebody and see how they're doing, see what their burdens are. Taking a few minutes, maybe even at the water cooler, and fellowshipping with them. By being available, you're showing your staff that you care, and that's a major way of supporting them, because when they know that you care, they're going to appreciate you more, they're going to appreciate the ministry more. And that's a major element of support that as administrators, the pastor does ask a lot of our administration staff to help care for his flock. That's how he finds out, by me being available to listen to somebody that, you know, has a burden or has a question, and it leads into, well, this is the reason I'm asking it. Then I can feed that information to pastor, and he can find out sometimes major burdens that are in somebody's life by being available, by not being in a rush, but by showing people that you care. Then next is be challenging. Don't let things slide year by year in the same way. Challenge your staff to be creative, to think of better ways of doing it. Every year in our annual review process, we'll ask for staff input on, is there a better way we can do something in our ministry? You as a church member, as a staff member, as a ministry leader, is there something that you see that you would like improved, a process that we can maybe help with? That's a major way in, if you ask me how you can help me in my job, you're supporting me, and I know that you're on my side and that you're looking after me. So be challenging to them. Help them to think of ways. Don't settle for just getting by. I love the quote, attempt great things for God and then expect great things from God. By challenging our staff, we're showing them that we care. They're professionals in their field. An athlete is a professional, but they don't get by just doing the mediocre. They push themselves continually. And I think that we as, if we're in the background helping to support our staff as administrators or whatever capacity we're in, then we are under obligation for the cause of Christ and for the individual person's benefit to help them, to challenge them on, to help them to get out of their box and think of better ways of doing things and helping develop them as individuals. When I was in Bible college, I often heard the expression, laziness is the scourge of the ministry. By being challenging, by having your staff get to that next level of excellence, that shows me that you care, and that shows me that you're supporting me and you are in support of the job that I'm doing. Tell your staff about progress. Conduct annual performance reviews. By doing that, you're challenging your staff to that next level of excellence, and that shows that you are supporting them in what you do. And then finally, be opportunity orientated. Give your staff the technology that they need to carry out their positions. Give them training opportunities. Allow them the space sometimes to pull apart, to plan, to get some distance to focus on the bigger rocks in ministry, the bigger things that they may not necessarily in the day-to-day rush of things get time to concentrate on. So let them pull back and plan for the next year. Be enthusiastic about ideas that they have and opportunities that they bring to you. Don't ever be a killjoy. You may need to do some damage control, but you don't have to be a killjoy. You shouldn't be the one to stifle your staff. You should be the one to be there supporting them, helping them, building them up. Allow ministry opportunities to all of your staff. Allow them to go to camps or retreats. Things like this are excellent, I think, as a ministry, if you can bring your staff to leadership conference, because there's so many different sessions that they have the opportunity to come and to learn and to develop themselves. And then we just have finalized a policy on continuing education, and that allows our staff to pursue something within their field, their job, that they may want a more professional or maybe another outside continuing education opportunity. So we've allowed them to seek this out maybe, and for some of them to pursue. Some of them are pursuing master's degrees or PhDs, whatever it may be, or maybe a course that they find that they're interested in doing, a two-day course. Some of our teachers actually tomorrow are going down to Los Angeles to do a two-day course in teaching and education development. So be opportunity orientated. That tells me that you're supporting me, and that allows the staff to know that you're interested in them continuing their education and continuing the opportunities that they that they have professionally.